I want to move. I said last week that we would be sharing on Romans chapter 8, verse 30. Over those whom he predestined, those he also called, and whom he called, he justified to a wealth of soul.
Okay.
But that was last Sunday. And being human as I am, none of us had any clue as to what was going to happen from Sunday to Sunday. And the events of the last week have caused me, by the providence of God, caused me to begin to have to make a change or want to speak to the current state of our nation. And in particular, let me say that I got an email this morning from our sister Sherry Reed. And in the email, it was a foreword from the church of Marissa, Sherry's daughter, Sherry and Bill's daughter. Marissa and her husband, Nathaniel, attend District Church in D.C. I looked them up. It's a beautiful church doing a work of God. The pastor's a visionary and has a heart starting all kinds of outreach ministries for the poor and those underprivileged. And Sherry forwarded what Marissa forwarded to her, and I read it this morning. And as I read it, I said to myself, well, there's Sunday's message. You're going to sideline Romans 8, and you're going to, you know, I said, I'm gonna speak about this because it was just so fitting. Sherry forwarded and said, thought this might be of interest. And as I read it, I thought, wow, yeah, that's something that I want to share. So I added some things to it. The pastors, Aaron and Amy, I think it's Aaron and Amy Graham, of all last names, the Graham family in the district. And so I just wanted to share. And I've added to it, of course, some things that I wanted to say. And let me say that I'm still processing what is going on, has been going on in our nation. And the thoughts are many, and I hadn't even gathered them and pulled them all together yet. So I wasn't ready to speak on it. But when I saw what this brother had put together, I thought to myself, that's a framework that I can operate within and add some things to and just share my heart. Okay. But he's responding to the George Floyd murder, if you will.
Murder.
Let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
And so I'm gonna read what if he was responding or sending this to his own church. He's a Caucasian pastor, him and his wife, and his church is largely Caucasian. I would think, based upon some things that are read in here, and he's reaching out. He's wanting to provide some context for his people because this is a very real issue. It's the 8,000-pound gorilla in the room that oftentimes people don't want to deal with, but. I thought to myself, let me come at this. So I'm going to read this, and it shouldn't be too long. What time is it? 2:43? Yeah. I read kind of slow, but.
Hey, John, we here.
Okay, thank you.
Glory to God.
But he says, he starts, quote unquote, "I can't breathe." These last words of George Floyd capture the hurt, the pain, and the cry of so many African Americans and people of color throughout our history as a nation. And when he said, when he acknowledged that this current event is reaching down into the history of our nation, I thought that was very important, very insightful. It was very important for him to validate what this is really all about. This is not just about George Floyd.
He goes on and says,
the death of Floyd in Minneapolis on Monday has once again exposed the injustice and racism in our land. Okay. And then let me share some more, just what I put into this. The broader context of the plight of African Americans includes, because, you know, it's not just George Floyd. You remember on Memorial Day, the same day, Amy Cooper.
Right.
In New York. So the context of this is right. Amy Cooper is in New York. Right. And if anyone, now, I'm sure you've seen the video.
Right.
And you would think to yourself, if anyone had any question about white privilege in our nation, that video would fix it. It would just go, okay, here it is. And yet, there are people who say, well, I don't see anything wrong. I don't see any. Okay, but this is the context. This is the context.
Right.
So, Amy Cooper, on the same day that George Floyd was murdered, we have to take into account Ahmaud Arbery, who that these things are happening so fast that everyone's talking about George Floyd and forgot about Ahmaud Arbery. Breonna Taylor, who was shot in her bed and murdered and killed. Okay. So this is the context. And also to mention that the pandemic in America is disproportionately affecting people of color. There's
77%.
There's all of this. Exactly. So that's the context. And you know, because people want to know why is our nation, why are people rioting? Why is this? And it's like, well, hold up. Where you been living?
Where you been?
Where you been living? Don't you understand? And so let me add. The kneeling of Colin Kaepernick. I'm sure you've seen the image by now. Yes, Colin Kaepernick kneeling. Yes. And then the officer kneeling on this man's neck. The kneeling of Colin Kaepernick to bring attention to police brutality in America was rejected by the NFL owners, many fans,
right,
many Americans,
right,
the vice president who walked out of the NFL game.
Yep.
Because some NFL players were kneeling, and in his own words, he said they disrespect our soldiers, our flag, and our national anthem. Hmm. And then President Trump called those who were kneeling SOBs.
Right. Mm-hmm.
As if police brutality doesn't even exist. Now, this is the context. This is the context. George Floyd's killing, this is the backdrop of this killing.
Right.
And so, on Friday when I was at work, and I stayed at work because there was a FBI or there was a press conference coming, and I wanted to see the press conference, and the county attorney, where is this? The county attorney. So I'm getting ahead of myself. So let's see. But I wanted to say that after all of this that has to do with what the vice president did, the NFL, President Trump said, and all of this, all of that has transpired. And now the people see on Memorial Day or the day shortly thereafter, this cop kneeling on this man's neck for 7, 8, 9 minutes. I find out today by reporting that he kept kneeling on his neck
3 minutes. 3 minutes after he was unconscious.
After the man stopped breathing.
Yeah. No.
Another cop
after he got unconscious
and said, I cannot get a pulse. I don't have a pulse. 3 minutes.
Yep.
And so this is the context. Now, in no way do I condone theft, looting, destruction of property, right? But it's interesting what we're seeing happening in the nation because we're seeing this rioting. I'm sure you've heard Martin Luther King's quote by now that he spoke in a speech called The Other America.
Right.
Martin Luther King said, and I quote, "And I must say tonight that a riot is the language of the unheard."
Right.
A riot is the language of the unheard.
Right.
So when people want to know, why are people rioting? Why are they tearing up their own stores? Why are they? A riot is the language of the unheard. And what is it America has failed to hear? It has failed to hear that the promises of freedom and justice have not been met. It has failed to hear that large segments of white society are more concerned about tranquility and the status quo than about justice and humanity.
Right.
Okay? So we see the lawless and the unruly attacking what America loves most. And that's not lives.
Right.
America loves most its ability to make money and do what it wants to do and have right. what it wants to have. And so on that right. same day, on Friday, the Hennepin County attorney, Michael Freeman, demanded, he got on television and he demanded people to bring order in the streets. And we cannot solve this case unless you people stop looting, unless you people stop fighting the police and causing all these problems. He said, you need to stop doing this. And I'm watching the television, the screen, and I'm saying to myself, this man does not hear. He does not see.
No.
Because he's asking them to stop looting in the streets when in the Minneapolis Police Department, no order has been brought. That's like someone punching you on the head and you ask them to stop and they don't stop. They say, oh, it's fine now. Everything's fine. But they're constantly beating you in the head. Now, you have to be crazy. So I'm simply saying this. I don't condone looting. I don't condone property destruction. But it's not going to stop unless the people see or feel justice. And they don't feel like they have.
And so stop.
This is why we need to pray, and I mean pray for our leaders and those who are in authority.
Right.
Because right. they need wisdom in order. Listen, they need to feel people's pain.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They need to identify with what people are going through. Oh, because right. because then and only then will they do something about what has gone on for so long. So, let me go back to what the pastor was sharing. It is in moments like these when it's hard to find words that we should be reminded of biblical practice of lament, where we cry out to God for justice and change. And let me see if I can put up here the scripture. Move in my way. Okay, there it is. Where he quotes Isaiah 58 that says, shout it aloud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke?
Correct.
So he goes on and he says this. To the African Americans in our church family, we want you to know that while many of us can't fully understand your pain, we see your pain and we grieve with you. Okay? He says that George Floyd joins a long list of names in recent years: Eric Garner, Tamir Rice, Trayvon Martin, Philando Castile, Alton Sterling, Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, and the list goes on, who in recent years have been killed for the color of their skin by those charged with protecting life.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
In recent years, these are the ones who have been killed for the color of their skin by those charged with protecting life. These tragic stories highlight the inequity and racism that not only exists today, but has throughout our history as a nation. And again, that's very important to note that this has been going on throughout the history of our nation.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, the white church in America has too often been complicit, silent.
Mm-hmm. We open church.
Silent or lukewarm about racism.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, we see thousands of young people protesting in the streets in mm-hmm. cities across the nation tonight, crying out for change.
Amen.
We pray for peace. We pray for peace. Mm-hmm. And when I read that, I had to add this to it. Let me be honest. I have not been praying for peace. I have not been praying for peace. I've been praying for the conditions to change that make for peace.
Right. It's,
come on now.
You listen, you can't pray for peace and just think peace is going to materialize out of thin air. The Bible says the fruit of righteousness is peace.
Amen.
The fruit of righteousness. When it's righteousness and justice is done, people will experience peace. Amen. So this is why, you know, and let me say something else. And this is part of the reason why I wasn't going to share out of my own heart, because there's a lot I'm still processing.
Amen.
Listen, we can't just talk.
Amen.
I'm done with talking.
Amen.
That's part of the process. That's what we do every time something like this happens. Just keep talking. You'll forget about everything that's happened. Just keep talking. And this is what we're seeing in the streets. See, the people not talking anymore.
Amen.
They're not talking. Amen. You know, the mayor of Atlanta, she gets on, and of course, Muriel Bowser, and she gets, and all of them talk. Stop talking.
Yes.
And so it's time for action.
Amen.
It's time for action.
Amen.
And while it's tragic what we're seeing, I mean, it's absolutely horrific, but so was the Civil War. I'm getting to get there in a second.
All right.
I'm going to get there.
All right.
And listen to the prophet Abraham Lincoln and what he had to say.
Mm-hmm.
So let me say, where was I? Yeah. So it says we pray for peace on our streets, and we pray that the church will understand these stories and understand this pain. And we do pray that. But let me read a bit of what, if you've never read Abraham Lincoln's second inaugural address, you got to read it. I mean, you just have to read it, because it's not only indicative of things in his day, but the things in our day.
Okay.
Because church, America hasn't changed.
No.
No. No.
It has not changed, church.
It has not.
No.
No. So let me share this. Abraham Lincoln said, and I quote, Abraham Lincoln, he's back coming. Anyhow. One-eighth of the whole population were colored slaves, not distributed generally over the Union, but localized in the southern part of it. These slaves constituted a peculiar and powerful interest. Listen to what he says. All knew that this interest was somehow the cause of the war. To strengthen, perpetuate, and extend this interest, speaking of slavery, to extend this interest was the object for which the insurgents, meaning the Confederates, would tear apart or rend the Union, even by war, while the government claimed no right to do more than to restrict the territorial enlargement of it. And so Lincoln is saying that the Confederates wanted to tear apart, they wanted to secede from the Union, which several states did. But that the government was claiming no more right than to simply restrict it. In other words, he wasn't going to do away with it, but restrict it. And there we see this. God has always used flawed men and women to do his perfect work.
Amen.
God has always used flawed men and women to do his perfect work. Because if he didn't, he couldn't use anybody.
That's right.
So that's what we see there. He goes on and says, neither party expected for the war the magnitude or the duration which it has already attained. Neither anticipated that the cause of the conflict might cease with or even be the conflict itself, or before the conflict itself should cease, speaking of emancipation, the end of slavery, which happened in 63, the war ended in 65. Each looked for an easier triumph. Listen to this. Each side, the North and the South, each looked for an easier triumph and a result less fundamental and astounding. And we can say that today. See, that's why people are talking. And people are talking, wanting to solve this just by talking. They want something easy. They want an easy result. Listen, this is not going to be easy.
Amen.
It's not going to be easy. Okay? No, this is going to require true leaders willing to lay down their reputation, their careers. Martin Luther King laid down his life. This is going to call for true leaders to come about to see this thing addressed. And so he goes on and listen to what he says. Both read the same Bible? Jesus. God let this out. Both read the same Bible and pray to the same God. And each invokes his aid against each other. Don't forget that. He goes on and says, it may seem strange that any man should dare to ask God, to ask a just God's assistance in wringing their bread from the sweat of other men's faces, but let us not judge that we be not judged. But let us judge not that we be not judged. Did you hear what he just said? Let me repeat. He says this, it may seem strange that any men should dare to ask a just God's assistance in wringing their bread from the sweat of other men's faces, but let us judge not that we be not judged. In other words, what he's saying, you know, this slavery is wrong, but I'm not going to judge the people doing it, lest I be judged. Oh, no. Now, see, that's why I said God uses flawed men, because it's very apparent that Abraham Lincoln didn't believe that he should judge what's going on here. And we today, listen, what are people crying out for today?
Justice.
Exactly, Eric. They're calling out for justice. They're saying this cannot happen. Now, listen to me, folks. If y'all know people, I'm sure you've been watching it. But it's not just black folk asking for crying.
Amen.
There are white people that name the color. They're everybody running around. Now we know there's unrighteous. We know there's unrighteous people stealing and pilfering and doing every type of ungodly thing. But that's all coming with it. Just like when Israel came out of Egypt. It wasn't just Israel came out. The Bible says a mixed multitude came out with it. That's always the case. Causes are always infiltrated and sullied by peripheral actors and people that are no good. But nonetheless, the cause is still worth fighting for. And so President Lincoln said, you know, we're not going to judge there. But then he goes on and he says this. The prayers of both could not be answered. Thank you, Jesus. That of neither has been answered fully. The Almighty has his own purposes. Then he quotes Matthew 8:17. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Let me read that again. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. That woe to that man. That man could, for his day, represented the South.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So for us today, it represents the whole of America.
Right.
Because this thing is not just relegated to the South. Minneapolis is not in the South.
No, it's not.
This thing has consumed our entire nation.
Michigan, right?
Hey, that's right. So he goes on and he says this. If we shall suppose that American slavery is one of those offenses which in the providence of God must needs come, but which having continued through his appointed time, he now wills to remove, and that he gives to both North and South this terrible war as the woe due to those by whom the offense pain, shall we discern therein any departure from those divine attributes which the believers in the living God always ascribe to him? Finally, do we hope, fervently do we pray, that this mighty scourge of war may speedily pass away? And therein, he captures our sentiment, the sentiment of those today who want this to all be over with. Just as a, everyone stop it, stop looting. We're gonna process this. Hadn't arrested anybody. Hadn't charged anybody. But y'all stop this nonsense and then give us time and we'll get this done. People said, no, we're not having it. Mm-hmm. And so Lincoln said in his day, he says, we hope and we pray that this mighty scourge of war may pass away. But listen to what he says next. Yet if God wills that it continue until all the wealth piled by the bondman's 250 years of unrequited toil reparations shall be sunk, and until every drop of blood drawn with the last shall be paid by another drawn with the sword.
Right.
Mm. Amen.
Mm. Right. Abraham Lincoln is saying simply this. If God's will, we're going to have war. We're going to kill each other over this thing. Because God's not done us paying for our past sins. In other words, what you sow.
Right.
The Bible says, do not be deceived. Reading Galatians chapter 6. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. You sow to the spirit, you will of the spirit reap everlasting life. And Abraham Lincoln is prophesying here and saying, listen, if God wills, you're going to have this war because we're going to have to pay for our past sins.
Right.
Now, that's all I'd say is, we are paying a mere pittance right now. No, don't put it. Now, the folk that have died, the majority of all of these African Americans, they paid a great price.
Yes.
To have a few buildings burned down. Come on.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
Come
right.
On. No, listen, don't leave here and say, Pastor Pat, he believes that you should go burn it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm making a comparison. A building can be replaced. A life.
Amen. Amen. That's right. So we
have to have enough discernment and judgment to value life. We have to value what God is. And in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, God said to Noah, if a man takes another man's life by man, that man's life shall be taken. If he spilled his blood is shed, he said that man's blood is going to be shed by man. Mm-hmm. So God values life. Amen.
Yes, he does.
And so we see it here in this inaugural address, which he said, and he goes on and it said, as we said 3,000 years ago, so still must be said, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, quoting Psalm 19 and verse 9. Now then, I want to share, because this scripture came to me when I began to watch all the things that were happening, and in particular, I began to, when I was watching the leaders, especially Friday, when this news conference came on, and it was the some federal attorney, I forget who exactly she is, and then the Hennepin County attorney, and they were addressing the media, and they didn't have what they needed. Did I do that? No, I wasn't, but it's okay. I'll put it back. So I wanted to share, let me see here. I wanted to share this account.
Okay.
Because now let me preface this account that you see here in 2 Samuel 16. What is happening here? David now, you remember he killed Uriah, slept with Bathsheba, had the baby, God judged him, killed the baby. And then, because of that, God spoke a word of judgment over David. Now, remember, David should have died.
Yes.
He murdered a man. Come on, he broke two of the Ten Commandments. God said, but the prophet said, the Lord has put away your sin. Well, you talk about grace in the Old Testament. Old Testament full of grace. Okay. So David's still alive. But then Nathan said this. He said, but because you have done this, the sword shall never depart from your house. And so this account that we see here in 2 Samuel 16 is the account of what is happening here is Absalom now has come in and gotten the men of Jerusalem on his side, and they've chased David out of the city, and Absalom's coming in now to reign as king.
Correct.
And this man, we'll see as David and his people are fleeing the city, Absalom is not far away coming in. And, this is what happens. Now, when King David came to Bahurim, there was a man from the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. Now, when it says the house of Saul, that should, you understand that the house of Saul was opposed to the house of David simply because the king who, okay, you understand that the kings, you know, who came after didn't want to have anything to do with the kings before. But remember that David had cut a covenant with Jonathan, Saul's son, that he would never cause his mercies to be relinquished from them. So, but this man is the descendant of Saul, and they see him coming there, and he came out cursing continually as he came. And he threw stones at David and at all the servants of King David. And all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And Shimei said thus when he cursed, come out, you bloodthirsty man, you rogue or son of Belial or worthless man. He's calling King David a worthless man. Okay. You don't call the king a worthless man, but he's calling him all these names. He says, the Lord brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul, which is not true. That's a lie. Okay. But that's Shimei's perspective.
Right.
Now, when you get in crises like this, and I see this as I'm, you know, processing this whole thing, a lot of people are telling their perspective.
Yeah.
But it's not. I'm talking about this situation we in right now. Okay. You hear me? And so he's saying, he says, the Lord has brought on you all the blood of the house of Saul. And when you will remember, it was David who was crushed to hear about the death of Saul. He wept. He said, don't go tell it in Gath. Don't tell it in another city. He said, this was the sweet. He said, no, no. He didn't want Saul to die. David could have killed Saul on two occasions when the Lord delivered him into his hand, but he would not touch the Lord's anointing. So, he goes on and says, in whose place you have reigned. So Shimei's cursing David because he's reigning in the place of Saul. And he says this, and the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, your son. Now, that's partially true because this is part of the judgment that's coming upon David. So now you are caught in your own evil because you are a bloodthirsty man. Then Abishai, and every king ought to have an Abishai. Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, or Zeruah is her name, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Please let me go over and take off his head. Now, I want you to get the picture. David is the king. He has ruling authority. He has authority. He can take life. And he can give life. Mm-hmm. And Abishai says, let me go over and take off his head. But listen to what David said in verse 10. He says, what have I to do with you? You son of Saul. So let him curse, because the Lord has said to him, curse David. Now, David is the ruling authority in the nation. Who then shall say, why have you done so? My prayer is that our leaders would understand that what's going on has been allowed so that he could get their attention. It's no different than what Abraham Lincoln said. God is allowing this war to deal with us. We have to deal with this. And so leaders need to humble themselves. David here has the right response as a leader who has in his hands the power of life and death. And he chooses not to kill this man. Okay. What do we have leaders do? When the looting starts, the shooting will start. We're going to kill you. We're going to take your life. And I'm looking at this saying, dear God in heaven, help us. Here's the scripture. Here's a leader who's deserving of it. He says, God told him to curse. He's deserving of it. He says, but I'm not going to touch him. I'm not going to take his life. God help our leaders.
Listen,
everything that we need to live this life and for leaders, everything is in the word of God. It's right there in the Bible. It's right there.
Right.
So if we only had a heart to see,
Right.
And so David says, no, he said to Abishai in verse 11, and to all his servants, see how my son, who came from my own body, seeks my life. He says, how much more now may this Benjaminite? He says, let this man curse. My own son is coming against me. David humbled himself. He didn't rise up and say, I'm great and strong. I'm the king, and I'm going to take your life. You better back up. I'm going to call my military. Abishai was one of his military generals. He was one of David's 30 mightiest men. Abishai was one of those boys who would go and kill 300 people. Right. This is who Abishai was. Come on. He didn't say, I'm going to call out my military, and I'm going to bone all of you down. He pulled him back and says, no, don't do that.
Right.
He says, let him alone and let him curse. Let him alone. Let him curse. Now, I'm not saying let the people alone, let them burn down the whole nation. But what I am saying is this. David said, let this man speak.
Right.
Let him speak. And our nation, the leaders of our nation should be saying, we need to hear what these people are saying. Why? Because as you share with you, Martin Luther King said, a riot is the language of the unheard. We need to hear. Amen. Our leaders need to hear. You say, what? You pastor, you say, pray for the leaders. What should I pray? Here it is right here. Pray. Pray that they would hear. Pray that they would pray for humility.
Yeah.
Pray that our leaders would be able to receive instruction. Pray that our leaders would not be self-serving and consumed with their own benefits. Because that's not why they're in office. That's not why they are where they are. Listen, David put himself, you remember when David sinned against the Lord in 1 Samuel chapter 24, he numbered the people of the Lord. Nathan came to him and said, you sinned against the Lord, now choose. What's going to happen? He said, 3 days overwhelmed, run by your enemies. He said, or 3 days pestilence and so forth. And what did David say? He says, now let me fall into the hand of the Lord.
Amen.
He said, because God's mercy.
Amen. Amen.
He said, I would rather fall into God's hand. Why? Because God is merciful. God will start out with judgment, and then when he sees judgment, he'll say, stop, I love him too much.
Amen.
Pull back your hand, right? What does David say here? He says right here, he says this in verse 12, or verse 11, for so the Lord has ordered him, it may be that the Lord will look on my affliction. And that the Lord will repay me for with good for his cursing this day. David said, maybe the Lord will repay me with good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to read this the way I see it. That maybe the Lord will repay me with good for allowing this man to curse me. I'm not going to touch him. I could take his life.
Mm-hmm.
David said, I'm not going to touch him. Maybe the Lord will repay me with good, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, the scripture says, David and his men went along the road. Shimei went along the opposite hillside and cursed as he went, and he threw stones and kicked up dust.
Mm-hmm.
And we see much of what, the way he's acting today, we see that going on in our, right here in Manassas, if you read the news just last night, it was happening here as close as Manassas.
Mm-hmm.
So, David had the proper attitude. He had the proper and humble response before the Lord by turning to and trusting in the Lord in the midst of his affliction. My prayer is that our nation would do the same.
Amen.
Now, let me read a little bit more and get through the end of what he had to say. Then I'll share a scripture, one last scripture, and close. He went on to say, Pastor Aaron, we must be reminded today of the biblical truth taught in Genesis 1, that every person is made in the image of God. And we must speak out whenever the beauty of God's image is ignored. God's heart is for every person.
Amen.
Then he goes on and he says, there is much to say. There is so much to say or try to say. There is so much to do or try to do. But let us now focus on one, on mourning rather. Let us lament. Lament is the recognition of death and loss. To lament is to create emotional space to mourn before God and with others. It is a critical first step in the healing process, being honest. Mm-hmm. God help us to be honest with ourselves, because America is not good at it. We just are not good at it. You know, this poor man, the mayor of Pedal, Missouri, I'm sure, or Mississippi, I'm sure you've seen by now his comments And this man now is scared to death because people are targeting his wife's jobs, his children, standing outside his house with guns because of what the negative comments he made about George Floyd.
As it should.
Saying things like, well, if he was, if he could tell them that he couldn't breathe, it means he was breathing, so everything should have been okay. And so people got a hold of that. People don't know what to do with that, but what they're doing out there. And so all he had to do was keep his mouth shut.
Yes.
Oh, I mean, life is so simple. Proverbs 13:3 says, a man who keeps his mouth, keeps his soul from trouble. A man who keeps his mouth will keep his soul from troubles.
Mm-hmm.
And this man brought all this trouble upon himself just by opening his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes on and he says, we see the practice of lament throughout the Bible, and especially in Psalms. We see lament in Lamentations, Jeremiah, and with Jesus in Gethsemane. We need to be reminded that God wants us to come to him in our anger, in our fear, in our loneliness, in our hurt, and in our pain.
Mm-hmm.
As we cry out in prayer, we can be assured that we have a Savior who is able to empathize with our weaknesses and needs.
Amen.
Goes on and he says, as we seek to be a church for the city, we must know our context here where God has called us. We must learn the insidious story of racism in the United States and in D.C. It is a cancer that affects everything from politics to education to poverty to health care to the criminal justice system. Without an awareness of the most prevalent underlying issue in our city, we cannot hope to make any significant impact on the very place we claim to be for. More significantly, for this current situation, we will fail to understand and empathize with the deep-seated pain, grief, and confusion felt by the African-American community. We will fail to understand. Most significantly for our, including many in our own church. We will fail. That's a misprint, I'm sure. So what are we to do? While we know that sin, injustice, and racism will never be fully eradicated until Christ's return, we know that we have the responsibility to carry out the ministry of reconciliation, and found in 2 Corinthians 5:20. We have the responsibility to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God, Micah 6:8. So how can we respond? Number one, pray.
Amen.
Pray.
Amen.
Prayer is the most powerful weapon we have in our arsenal of grace, principalities, and powers against which we struggle.
Amen.
Ephesians 6 says that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and these powers. In other words, this is not a fight against specific people, groups of people, political parties, or media outlets. This is a battle in the spiritual realm against Satan and the ways he seeks to rob, steal, destroy, and counter Christ's mission to seek, save, heal, and unite. And that spirit is in people. Amen.
Amen.
So they set up a time for their own church where they're going to be praying, have a prayer vigil where everyone's going to be praying. Well, you know, we have the same thing in our church, except for it's just not a formal setup. Because here's what I say constantly. If you're breathing. Hello? If you're breathing, you're praying.
Right.
Come on. Amen. If you're breathing, you're praying. Listen, right. More so now than ever.
Amen.
More so now than ever. Let me share a story with you.
Mm-hmm.
This is Friday. On Thursday, I don't know what happened. I went to work and kind of, I don't know. I don't have days like this, but I had a day on Thursday. I went to work and I went to a job that I'd done before, but the woman, this lady using me to clean all her rental house. I went to the old rental house to clean. It was the wrong house.
Okay.
So I went a couple doors down to another house, tried to get in through the lockbox, couldn't get in. It was the wrong house.
Mm.
So I called her and she came and went to open up the door. She told me to pull into a spot, and I pulled into the spot, got out my equipment, looked, turned around and saw the door, a storm door open with the door to the house open. So I walked up to the house, just walked right in. When I walked in, I'm thinking it's going to be a vacant house. I walked in, there's shoes, purse, keys. I walk in, and I look around, and I heard a voice. The woman says, hello. And I'm like, hello?
Oh,
I says, she said, yeah, I'm working from home. I'm like, ma'am, is this 421? She's like, no, it's 425. I'm like, oh, my goodness, I'm in the wrong house. I went to the wrong house 3 times.
Wow.
3 times. Now, here's what's it. The lady's house alien was a white woman. When I thought about it, I thought to myself, oh, Jesus. I said, no, Lord Jesus, I could be a dead man. Thursday. I came home, I told my family, I said, I'm glad to be alive today. Everybody turned around. Dad, what you talking about? I said, girl, I walked into this woman's house. I just walked right in the door. And, you know, because I thought it was the house that, you know. I said, ma'am, I am so sorry, but this is one of the most gracious women. She says, oh, it's no problem. 425, I believe, is the end unit. I said, thank you so much, ma'am. I don't know how I got him. So I went over to the house, cleaned everything. But when I got back to my shop, I said, Father of mercies, in the time that we are living in, y'all could be reading on the news. Cleaner went into the wrong house.
That's not a far-fetched thing.
So I said, if you're breathing, you're praying. I was in the prayer of Thanksgiving all day long. I said, Father, thank you, Jesus.
Right.
Thank you, Father. You watching over me. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
So let me finish what he said. He said the first point was to pray. Second point, listen and learn. And this is what he said. If you don't understand the depth of emotion felt by people of color in response to racist incidents, take time to listen. Listen to the African-American community, to the Latino community, and to the Native community. Listen to the Asian-American community, who is experiencing a huge spike in racism during this pandemic, with hateful comments being made to them. He says this, and it's so important, in humility, genuinely seek to learn.
Right.
Open your heart, your mind, to understanding the experiences of those different from your own.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen. Amen.
You know, I was out back doing some work in my office. I was trying to wrap up. But I was out back doing some work in my office, and some Hispanic guys who work for the window company next door to my business, they're out there working on their trucks and everything, and I'm out there working. And I always speak to people, because I speak to everybody. I want to be friends with everybody. Amen.
I
speak to everybody. So I'll throw up my hand, you know, they speak Spanish. I speak a little bit of Spanish, but, you know, they speak a little English, and we're talking back and forth. So I go in my shop, do some work. This guy walks up to my back door, which I had propped open, and he got my attention, and I walked over to him. And he asked if he could use the water. He says, is this your water? It's a hose bib out back. Everyone uses it. He says, is this your water? Do you pay for this? I said, no, this is everyone's water. You can use it. You can, you know, you can do whatever you want to do. And I smiled at him, let him know, hey, you know.
It's all right.
It's all right. Thank you. It's everybody's ours. Don't feel like you can't use it. And in that moment, I knew exactly where he was. You hear me?
Yes.
I said, I know exactly where he was, because he was timid. He was coming up to me, you know, would it be all right if I, be all right? Because it was almost like he was assuming I had the privilege and he had to gain the privilege.
Right. Right.
And I know what that feels like. Let me tell you something. I never want anybody to feel that.
Right.
I never want anybody to feel
Come on.
Right.
Amen.
Oh my goodness. Let me just end with what he said. He said, in unrelenting hope of what Christ has done and promised to do, with love, Pastors Aaron and Amy and Kimberly, their worship pastor. So he had some ministries that he listed, and this guy is a visionary. He's got ministries. God bless him. Maybe one day I'll go over there and meet him and we'll see. But they got a lot of ministries to pour in, justice ministries to get involved in. I mean, this guy's sitting on people's boards. He's got a vision for DC and beautiful things that he's doing in the kingdom of God. It's probably praying for this brother. But let me say this. Stand for righteousness.
Amen.
Pray, listen and learn. And then where he said support justice ministries, and we do that, let me add this. Stand for righteousness.
Amen.
Stand for righteousness. I'm going to share this last scripture, if I can get it here. Okay. 2 Samuel chapter 23. This is speaking of the mighty men that followed David. And there's this brother named Shammah. This is a bad dude right here. Says, and after him was Shammah, the son of Agiah, the Hararite. the Philistines had gathered together to a troop or a crowd, where there was a piece of ground full of lentils or barley. So the people fled from the Philistines. So here all these Philistines there, there are people there. Apparently there's some soldiers there. But everyone ran away. But this one dude, let me say it again. This one, listen, sometimes you fight in the crowd.
Right.
But sometimes you're going to be all by yourself.
Oh, wow.
And I'm telling you that in that moment, you're going to have to stand.
Amen.
You're going to have to stand all by yourself. And this dude, the scripture says, he stationed himself. He got ready.
Right.
In the middle of that field, and he defended it and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. You know what I believe it's Second Chronicles says the people returned after Shammah only to plunder. They returned after Shammah only to get the gold and silver that all the men left whom he killed because he took care of business. Sometimes you're going to have to stand.
Yes.
Sometimes you're going to have to stand all by yourself.
Yeah, well,
let me close with this. I shared it before and I'm going to share it again because I believe it bears repeating. You remember I told you the story? I went to a conference in Philadelphia. It was a ChemDry conference of all us local or regional ChemDry owners. And I was the only African American in the room. I'm cool with that. I'm good. Hey, ain't got no problem with that. And but while the people from headquarters was up sharing the new graphics and everything that they had made for the franchise system, which is a worldwide franchise, not just nationwide, but worldwide. And there were all these graphics, and the graphics were fine. The only problem was that there were no Hispanics, no people of color, no Indians, no African-Americans, there was nothing. It was just vanilla. It was just Caucasian. Now, I get it. But we in Philadelphia.
Right.
Philadelphia is 42% African-American.
That's
or non-white. 42%. And we're in Philadelphia. And so I'm sitting there looking at the graphics. And listen, let me say something about when God brings about change. Please don't ever get it wrong. When God brings about change, he will do something in you to make you not shut up. Listen, Martin Luther King had no choice but to go the road he went. So I'm sitting in there amongst these men, and I'm watching everything that's going on, and all of a sudden, in my spirit, it pops up, says, you going to say something? I'm looking around like, who? And here's the thing. I couldn't act like I didn't see what the problem was. It was very clear to me. And I'm sitting there like, and when he said that, I knew exactly what he meant.
Amen.
And I counted the calls, and I said, He said, now you know what's going to happen to you once you say something. I said, He says, you ready? I said, I said, I don't care. Because you know what? Truth is truth.
That's right.
Truth is truth. Okay? Amen. It doesn't benefit one side and is negative to the one side. No, truth is good. It's always good.
Yeah.
And the truth will always be chosen. So when they said, does anyone have any questions? I put up my hand. I said, your graphics, there are no people of color. There's no Latinos. There's no African Americans. There's no, seemingly from what I can discern, there's no Native Americans. I said, what can be done about that? And this guy from the back, who I heard earlier telling his neighbor that he went to church. And he said, that big black magic marker that we gave you, that's why we gave it to you. Color in the people. Color in the people on the graphics on your van. That's how you get black people on your van. And when he said that, a number of people threw their head back, started laughing and everything. And I'm going to be honest with you. It didn't feel good. It hurt.
It hurt.
But I looked at the leaders, and after the laughter stopped, I looked at the people, who were running the whole conference. And they said, we'll make a note of that, and we'll jot that down. 2 years later, I was sitting in my office And they came out, gave an announcement and said the new graphics are out. And then they put out the graphics. Here's a girl, a black girl on the carpet with her family, big old ponytails. Here's a Latino girl. I was like,
Amen.
And I thought to myself, I thought, and it was like the Holy Spirit said, do you see that you had to pay a price to get that?
Right. Yes.
You had to pay a price. My son had to pay a price for you to get redemption.
Right.
And so we're going to, if Christ, the scripture says we will be glorifying him if we suffer with him.
That's
Christ
right.
suffered, we're going to have to suffer. Suffer for what? Suffer for what's right. Suffer for what's God.
Amen.
Right? Amen. And so I'm just saying, stand up for righteousness.
Amen.
Do it with as many people as you can. And when it is necessary, stand all by yourself. But just Amen. Know this. When Daniel was in the lion's den, all by himself.
Amen. No, he wasn't.
Daniel said, the king said, oh, Daniel, has your God been able to save you? Daniel said, live forever, O king. God has sent his angel.
Amen.
When Paul was on his way to Rome, the Lord, he said, the angel of the Lord stood beside me this night. Said, speak of Paul, for he says, I'm with you. He says, you're not alone. So
Amen.
We are never alone, even when we're seemingly standing up alone. We're never alone. God bless you. Let's pray.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for your word.
Yes,
we
Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for your movement in the earth, O God. Even at times, your movement that we cannot even discern. But yet, O God, your hand, O God, is moving. Father, we pray that your kingdom come. We pray your will be done. And we pray, Lord, that your grace would so use us in a way as to, Lord, come alongside and be engaged in and be one with that which you're doing. That Jesus Christ would be glorified in the church. Let it be believers, O God, through whom your grace is revealed. Your glory shines forth, O God. And that the gospel will be preached in all the nations for a witness. Then shall the end come. So we pray, Lord, over these United States. We pray for our local leaders on every level, every mayor, Lord, every governor of our states, Lord, President Trump, Pence, the administration, the cabinet, Lord. We pray for our police, Lord, our law enforcement. We pray for radical change to come about. Father, we pray, Lord, that enough lives have already been lost, Lord, and sowed into the ground that would reap righteousness. Father, we pray, oh God, that righteousness and justice and truth, oh God, would once again be exalted in our land, Lord, and that this spirit, oh God, Lord, of this spirit of injustice and racism and discrimination and prejudice, Lord, and pitting human against human. Father, we pray that thing would be overcome and annihilated. Lord, in the church. We ask it in Jesus' precious name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 God bless you.